should get started. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church.
Good morning, everyone.
You know, I love that song we just finished, Like Jesus Loves. Our sermon text this morning will be 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. And our topic this morning is going to be brotherly love. So that song was just beautiful, and how Jesus loves, and how we're going to speak this morning about brotherly love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So let us read on through to verse 8. You know, Paul's explaining here the importance and necessity of love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Foundational to every other value and goal in Christian life is the call to grow in love. 1 Corinthians 13 charts the way, noting the absence of value in any accomplishment, gifts, or sacrifice unless love is the fountainhead and the flavor of it all. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, it states, "His banner over us is love." And I was thinking maybe we could talk to the board of directors and have a nice banner put over here, so when we enter, we could see that his banner over us is love. But and through growing in that love, multitudes of Christians knit together can be a force for God. Such brotherly love is to be nurtured and becomes a proven source of joyful service for the Lord. And you know, the Word of God is absolutely phenomenally awesome, because we're going to share some, we're going to look through scriptures this morning. We're going to see examples from the Lord's Word and how it navigates us through these trials of when we're trying to administer brotherly love. Because it's a commandment. It's a command. So is there a responsibility for one another? We are held accountable for our treatment of our brothers and sisters, blood and spiritual. And we're going to look to see where that first emerges. We're going to see this. It's awesome. God's awesome. He's going to show us the way. But first, he's going to give us an example here. In Genesis 4:9, the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" So brotherhood and the love of brother, it emerges early in Scripture and from the very beginning. It's clear that God places a high priority on how brothers treat each other. And in this passage, the question of responsibility for one another first emerges. Cain asks, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Keeper means to guard, to protect, to attend, or to regard. So are we responsible? Absolutely is God's answer. Not only are we our brother's keeper, we are held accountable for our treatment and our ways of relating to our brothers, blood and spiritual. You know, Cain, he wasn't thinking about making it right with God. He wasn't thinking about making it right with his brother. He was thinking about revenge. You know, for Cain's sins against his brother, God curses him throughout the earth. He took away his ability to farm, sentences him to a life as a fugitive, a vagabond. His life's a mess. You know, this example clearly indicates that on brotherliness, destines one to fruitlessness and frustration of purpose. Serious. This was a serious situation. Love embraces those who have wronged us. And we're going to look at Genesis 45:4. It's a great story. God expects us to demonstrate a forgiving and expressive love to those who have wronged us. I know this message may not go very well with people, but you know what? It's got to be something that we've got to realize is a command. So we got lots of covers. Great stuff. In 45:4, this is the story of Joseph, which some of you I'm sure already know. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." The story of Joseph is an early account of the forgiving nature of God, a nature God expects us to display in our treatment of those who have wronged us. This is a founding example of Christ-like love in this story. It's phenomenal. Though Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery and deceived his father into thinking him dead when he confronts his brothers during their time of need, his forgiveness and love burst forth from his heart with an uncanny faith in the overriding providence of God. He even professes his belief that God has used his brother's betrayal of him as a means to deliver his family during the time of famine. Joseph's forgiveness of his brother's sin is so complete that he kisses all of them and weeps with joy at being united with them once again. I don't see much of that going on in the world today. Not at all. Brotherly forgiveness is expressive, self-giving, and offered in a way that assists its being received. So, brothers and sisters, if we expect to get closer to God, we must love others. And we're going to look at Psalm 15:3. David says, "He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend." To get closer to God, love others. This is brotherly love. In Psalm 15, David is asking God the necessary qualifications to abide in his tabernacle. One, he says, God's reply emphasizes that to abide in God's presence and purpose first requires a will to exhibit a strong relationship with others. To expect to have a strong relationship with God, determined to conduct life in right relationship with others. That's it. And God's telling David to speak kindly to his neighbors, never to gossip or say anything to destroy another's reputation, to do nothing to hurt another person in any way. And finally, God warns David not to reproach his neighbor. Reproach means blame, discredit, disgrace, or shame. If the Old Testament is teaching here that one desiring to get closer to God must prioritize love toward others, the New Testament commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, Romans 13:9, is surely vital to our relationship with the Heavenly Father today. Is it not? Absolutely is. We have been abundantly forgiven. And we need to abundantly forgive. God wants us to abundantly give mercy, just as we have abundantly received it. If we are to show brotherly love, these words are basic, yet their impact is intended to be life-changing at both points. Psalm 86:5, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant and mercy to all those who call upon you. See, in our receiving God's love and merciful forgiveness, in our receiving God's love and merciful forgiveness, number one, and two, in our giving, it just as we have received it. Two virtues here, goodness and forgiveness, are attributes birthed by our Heavenly Father. And it's expected to be found in our own lives. He expects us to be like Him, to stand ready to forgive our brother's transgressions in the same abundance of mercy He shows you and I. Abundant means aboundingly, exceedingly. That's a lot. That's a lot. God does not want us to portion out our mercy and forgiveness with teaspoons. Go to the back of the room, they get some teaspoons. I was going to bring a big shovel in today to show you how big, big white shovel I got in my garage. He doesn't want us to portion that out with teaspoons, you know. He wants you to portion out with shovelfuls. He's looking for people who are going to do this. They're going to shovel out forgiveness and mercy with huge, unlimited amounts. You know, do you want to do this? No. Is this easy? No. No. Is it a command? Yes, it is. Do you think you can love those who have animosity toward you? Let's see what Jesus says. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, but those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus is clearly calling here forth love from us toward those who show animosity toward us. You know, the word enemy does not suit any limited, convenient meaning, as though merely referring to those whom we may not particularly like. The command to love our enemies means much more than simply changing our feelings about people with whom we don't get along. Rather, enemy means adversary or foe and refers to those whose actions and words manifest hatred for you. Like maybe the in-law who will not speak to you. The associate at work or coworker who tried to get you fired. We are called to love those filled with animosity toward us. This is not an easy message, my friends. It was very eye-opening to me. I got a lot of work to do. Jesus leaves no room for speculation in this passage, commanding love for those who hate, despise, and persecute us. Such love is only possible through the power of Jesus Christ, who Himself loved in that way and now seeks vessels through whom to love again the hate-filled who assail Him as they oppose you. I love this verse, 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. Love it. God's love loves the unlovable. It does. We're going to look at Luke 6:31-35. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. In your life, through the transformation of God's love, we are empowered to sincerely love the unlovable. That transformation took place in your life, and you have been empowered to do that.
I mean, I have to say, whether you like it or not, this is the way it is. You have to love the unlovable.
To love the unlovable is to separate ourselves from the world's self-serving kind of love. To share Christ's love with people who have no apparent ability to return anything at all. Jesus calls us to love as he did. To love those who finished last. To those who were ugly, poor, you know, the homeless. Love, you know, my heart goes out to these people. If you ever get to serve at the soup kitchen like Scott, and it's a wonderful service to the Lord. But we're called to love these people. Those who are poor and who are powerless to help us. This response is only, it's only possible through a supernatural transformation that begets in us a different order of response than is usual to mankind. Mankind's not, you don't see it happening. Just as a human mind separates man from animals, so Christian love is to be dramatically different, that it separates the believer from the world. It is to remove us from those, you know, those animal responses that snarl, you know, attack or retaliate that happens so much, you know, in our lives. And it is to transcend human responses that expect an earthly reward for service or kindness. Such love will become a beacon light, drawing the world or the worldling to us. To question what causes us to radiate love in the midst of unlovable, unloving people. Christ in you, brotherly love. The perfection of God's love in us can gain a curious and a tentative audience. They're going to want to know why. What's going on? You have such love for this person or these people. You know, why? It's going to question them. And then that is the opportunity to share your testimony. Love by choice, not by circumstance. Let mistreatment by others remind you to overcome their evil through love. The priority and pathway of brotherly love. We see this in John 15, 12, and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The love of God enables us to give up comforts, to bear with others' treatment and pain. Here is summarized the entire duty and direction of the disciple of Jesus Christ. The direct simplicity of this statement establishes the priority and the pathway we are to pursue. One, our priority is to love one another. Two, our pathway is to love as Christ loved us, laying down his life. Now, who can measure this love? Christ gave up the comforts, joys, and adoration of heaven to be sullied by the soil of the earth and to carry the sins of sinners. You know, his bearing of agonizing pain through beatings, nails in his hands, the spear in his side, the thorns on his head, all exemplify the measure of his love. We find his love, but we also see his manner of loving and are called to bear with others' sins with inflicted pain, with stabbing, cruel remarks and treatment. Impossible? Yes, to human nature. But as new temples of the Holy Spirit, who has poured out the love of God into our hearts, we can ask for and receive the grace and guidance to love as Jesus loved. Amen. Amen. Brotherly love flows from divine nature. The divine nature dissolves personal fighting and releases affection and benevolence. 2 Peter 1, 7 and 8. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The divine nature, again, dissolves personal fighting and releases affection and benevolence. I have to repeat that. In verse 4, which I did not write in here, but I would like to say that, Peter describes God's great and precious promises intended to enable us to be partakers in its divine nature and to allow us to escape the corruption that is in the world. These graces are necessary to lift us above the decay of the human nature and into brotherly kindness and love. Brotherly kindness dissolves personal fighting, infighting, and ungracious ignoring of one another. Further, to master love is to receive and release love, that Christ-like unconditional gift that is full of affection, bursting with benevolence, and that provides a love, an abundant love, to all to whom we minister in the name of Jesus Christ. This text, it's a promise for those yielded enough to let these gifts flow. We can actually participate in the divine nature of God, which is elevated above the corrupt, divisive spirit of the world. Satan wants to do it. He wants to divide, and we can stop that through God's divine nature. That is, you are empowered to love those who don't love you. In closing out our message this morning, let us remember the two greatest commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And second, and your neighbor as yourself. We are commanded to demonstrate brotherly love to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to those who may bother or irritate you. We must love the unlovable, and we must love the lovable and the unlovable. Can we do this? Not alone. Brotherly love flows from divine love in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love to us, because you sacrificed so much at a great cost. May we understand, Lord, that we are called, that there's a commandment here to love others, to show that brotherly love. It's not easy, and you know that. Whether a spouse, neighbor, co-worker, whoever it may be, we may say, this is impossible, but it's not. You have empowered us. I ask, Lord, if there's anyone today that has not received you, that they would do that. That they would reconcile with you, first and foremost, and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray for those here and myself that if there's there are situations that I must reconcile with and make right, that we do that and not waste any time. That we make it right with our brother or sister. Because we know if we don't, it could lead a life of unfruitlessness. Hard life. But we don't have to have that. We can have love in us to others. That our testimony can be powerful, Lord God, because you have blessed us, and may we bless others with that. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word that navigates us through these tough times, tough situations. And you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, for that. We pray this now in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.